Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 206. A different Glover is asking you to donate money for a good cause. Phoebe Glover is raising money for St. Jude. It's a one-day program, so just today and that's it. And if you would like to donate to her cause, it's through her sorority, Tri Delta at KU, then you can go to our Facebook page and we put a link there. I just did it. It's really easy to do. I was able to use PayPal. You can use Venmo, $5, $10, whatever you can do. But the stakes just got a whole lot higher. I was just texting with Phoebe and she says, if I bring in 500 or more, I get a tumbler.
Oh, very nice.
Right?
Very nice.
The kids love the tumblers.
This is huge. Yeah.
I wonder if it's a Stanley Cup.
Better be.
Well.
Better be quality.
Better have her name on it.
Better. You want to ask me about my generation?
Yeah. So I read this article recently that reminded me of you, Dave, because it was talking about how baby boomers, who the cutoff year is 1964. But a lot of the younger baby boomer or people who would be classified as baby boomers don't identify with that label and don't identify with the generation. And instead, they call themselves Generation Jones.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Because it's just like a totally different, you just had a totally different experience than the beginners of that generation. Yeah. And it turns out like 47% of younger baby boomers don't identify with that title at all.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I mean, I was born in September of 64, so I was about 4 or 5 months away from being a legit Gen X.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the first of the generations kind of deserve a... Credit's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. Like, because you kind of started a new thing. And so the older baby boomers, to me, are sort of like the real baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And the older Gen Xers, which I consider myself one, I guess I'm Generation Jones. I think it's like 1954 through 65 or something like that. And it, who cares, right? I mean, it doesn't matter, but it kind of matters because we talk about generations more now than I think we ever have. And mm-hmm. we define people by generations. And yeah, I mean, it has nothing to do with being older because I was born September 6th of 64. It doesn't matter what you call me. But yeah, I don't identify with people who are 75.
Mm-hmm.
I identify way more with people who are 50.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the millennial moniker has been an interesting ride because I had never heard of it or cared about it at all until I got to be in like my, I guess, early 20s, because that's when everyone was writing about how much millennials were terrible. Yeah, millennials mm-hmm. suck. They're never going to own a home because they won't stop buying avocado toast and all this stuff.
Got a little over our skis on that one.
Yeah, it was like, ouch, like, okay, we're all like in our early 20s doing our best here. And then, you know, Gen Z came around and suddenly millennial was a bad word for a different reason because that means like you're like older and mm-hmm. you know you've got the side part and the skinny jeans and you're completely out of touch. But now with like Gen Alpha rising up, I keep seeing stories about how now Gen Z feels threatened by them and Gen Alpha is like the meanest generation ever, and I'm going, how much of this is actually true and how much of it is people just creating content for the internet?
Probably as much that as anything.
I did have, is it Razor's Edge time?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we talked about Craigslist prices right in the previous hour, my adult toy mishap. I want to play Amazon Prices Right because I came across this article of these really expensive things that we kind of can't believe are sold on Amazon. And I want you guys to try to guess how much money they're going for, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is a Josh Gibson signed baseball. And you can really get this on Amazon. It's here's a picture of it, Dave.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think that would go for? It's a lot. I'll put it that way.
Okay. My gut would be 1,000, but it's probably way more than
that. It's way more than that.
Okay.
100,000.
It's way more than that.
Wow. What?
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, this is like insanely expensive stuff that you can buy on Amazon.
800,000.
More than that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
5 million.
$1.4 million.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, I just clicked on the link. It is currently unavailable on Amazon, so I guess they sold out of the Josh Gibson baseballs, but it was going for $1.4 million.
Such a steal. That's not, that was Prime Day, you know. People snatched that up.
There's an 1886 O American Silver Morgan dollar.
What's O American mean?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Yeah, with coin collecting, it's all about there were so few of these made, and and the coin collectors love mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like this one was double imprinted and blah, blah, blah. So
this one says Canada instead of America.
Right.
God bless the U.S. Oh, dang it. We did the wrong thing.
Ran out of room.
This is going for $288,000.
Damn.
I know. It's kind of insane that you can make transactions that big on Amazon.
No kidding.
Kobe Bryant's 2012 playoffs game used signed sneakers.
Oh, okay. That's got to be
wild that you can buy this on Amazon.
I'll say 1.1 mil.
A little pricey.
Is it a little much? Okay.
They're going for $86,000.
Oh, well, that's extremely pricey. It was way over.
You can buy a ladies round cut diamond tennis bracelet for $24,000 on Amazon. I just wouldn't want to risk having that mailed to me, especially like on the Amazon truck. Like, no shade to them, but it's like,
And then if it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. They're also selling a gold ceramic toilet.
Ooh, $19,000.
$9,000. Oh. It's a gold ceramic toilet, household, luxurious, quiet, comfortable seat, elongated, dual finish, one piece toilet, European style flush toilet. That's the official title.
That's
on
a
Amazon
toilet right there.
You can even buy a modern tiny house. And I'll just tell you guys how much this costs. $94,500 for a 3-bedroom tiny house on wheels.
To say how tiny it is?
Let's see. I think it's...
I mean, 3 bedrooms.
Yeah, it's three.
Three
well,
bedrooms.
They're like, 2 of the bedrooms are like loft bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I'm on the page. It doesn't get delivered until November, so you're going to have to
Fair
wait
enough.
A little while.
You're going to have to be homeless for a month and a half.
It doesn't tell me exactly how large it is, but it weighs 10,000 pounds.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, that's it.
Guy in the Amazon truck delivering my $10,000 house.
Let me see.
That'd be pretty cool, though.
To have a tiny house?
Like 100 grand for a house, and they just plop it down, and you just walk in?
Oh, I've seriously considered it. Because there was a time there where in Grafton Hills, they were selling like $5,000 plots of land. And I was like, I could go one of those and then get a tiny house. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, there's probably an HOA that wouldn't let you have a tiny house or something.
Yeah.
And then also you're dealing with, you have no space. Like, it's a really fun, cute idea. But then when you want to store things and you don't have a closet, like that would become a huge bummer. But I think if I had like a storage shed or something, I could totally do the tiny house life.
Also, like, there's a lot of decent houses that don't even cost $100,000.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
In certain areas,
like, my
yeah.
house is fine. My house is not worth $100,000. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you're paying, if you end up paying $100,000 for, like, a, I don't know, 100-square-foot tiny home where your bed is like a sleeping bag and a loft, I don't know. You may end up being better off just getting, like, a normal house. A small house as opposed to a tiny house.
You and Megan should get 2 tiny houses, mm-hmm. attach them, mm-hmm. so she could have the hammock house.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Or just hang the hammock in between the houses.
There you go.
Hammock tiny houses are huge. I have seen many no pun intended. I have seen many a hammock-related tiny house.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's like the most common. I think it's maybe the type of person who buys a tiny house, but I feel like that's like the most common piece of furniture I've seen in a tiny house.
Hmm.
Is a tiny hammock.
You can get a $8,000 foosball table on Amazon. $8,000.
Yeah, them players better be.
I've never ever had fun playing foosball.
What?
No. Really? Oh, me and foosball my friend box. Jamie got so into it in like middle school. I would get to school early specifically to play foosball.
You guys had foosball at school?
We did. It was in the cafeteria.
School's ball?
School's ball. It was fun.
I wasn't good at it, and I'm the kind of person that if I'm not good at something immediately, I kind of throw a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then the only thing I could do was whiz and make them kick it, which
flipping
evidently
it.
Is illegal in some cases, or at least the people I was playing with said it was. And I'm like, well, why the hell are we being playing this?
I always understood that was like, it was legal, but you had to really, it was a big risk play, right? If you're doing all that, you're taking your hands off the board, you're relinquishing control of the ball. So that's like, you got to be ready to kill that thing if you're going to spin it.
My foosball was air hockey.
I like air hockey as well.
Yeah. That's one of the
I had an air hockey table for a
nicest
time.
Christmas presents I ever got. Like, my mom and dad, very normal mom and dad, not overly generous, but I also didn't suffer on birthdays or Christmas. Like, they took good care of me, but I got a pretty nice air hockey table.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was pretty, it was really cool.
All right.
Oh, there just seems to be very little skill.
Well, yeah.
Just seems to be a whole lot of clickety clank.
I was playing it as like a very small, unathletic child and doing pretty well. You just kind of guard the goal and you're doing okay. But it's fun when the air starts like coming up out of the table.
Oh, when that thing starts floating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the final thing I'll tell you guys about in the expensive Amazon items is a full body massage chair. And you can control it with your smartphone. How much do you think this is going for? This is on the cheaper end of the expensive items.
1,000.
Hmm?
300.
3,000.
I've never sat in one of those.
I haven't either. Like at the mall or anything, I've never done it.
They're pretty good.
Of course you've done it.
Yeah. That's normal. It's normal to have sat in the massage chair. That's not weird.
It is normal. It's just like of the three of us, you would definitely have been the one to sit in the massage chair.
It's not worth like the money they charge nowadays. Nowadays, it's like $10 for a minute in the massage chair.
That's
or whatever.
Insane.
Yeah, it's wild. But back when I was like in high school or whatever, and it was a lot cheaper before, you know.
I must have read too many Stephen King stories because I would be a little bit apprehensive. Like, it's almost like going to a carnival and you don't quite trust the person running the tilt-a-whirl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I trust the technical acumen of someone in a mall. And if I'm going to sit in a mechanical chair that squeezes me, like,
well, they don't. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what the chair does. Is the chair that you're reading, Rach, is that it squeezes you?
Yeah, it's a massage chair.
What do you think a massage chair is?
The chair that you sit in and it rubs your back and such.
Now, I have sat in one of those because if you go and get a pedicure or something, typically it'll like massage your back. But there's ones you sink down into and it like goes kind of around. It doesn't like strap you in, but it goes like around your arm and massages like your whole appendage.
Not sure I want that.
Yeah, I don't want that either. I don't want that for me.
Never seen one of them.
I don't want it at the mall where it hasn't been wiped down or anything.
At the Galleria, probably 2 years ago, so it may be gone by now, but there was a massage place under one of the escalators.
Yep, that's still there. Uh-huh.
Is it still there?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Yes, sir.
Good luck in your business. It just feels a little hobbitish.
Yeah, there's like strange liquid dripping down from the escalator, and you're like... Come under the stairs.
Oh, don't worry about that. That's just the escalator juice. No biggie.
225 DGS. Andrew, what's wrong with your ear?
I don't know, man. I haven't heard anything in my left ear in like 2 days.
That's not good.
I can hear a little bit. It's very dull, and I've got like kind of that ringing thing going on.
Have you tried cleaning it out?
I got ear problems, man.
Do you?
They get really, I don't know, clogged or whatever. I don't know if it's like I have ear drainage. I don't know, like problems.
You should go see Dr. Matt Kanoyer, my ENT, and they'll tell you what's wrong, and they'll probably just clean both your ears out.
Mm-hmm.
I've only had it done one time, but mine were really bad, bad.
Yeah.
And they were infected and inflamed and bleh.
Do you have rocks coming out?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And so...
pretty satisfying.
But they gave me some medicine that made the swelling go down,
mm-hmm.
so then they could just clean it. And swear to God, when I was walking out of there, it was on like a marble hallway, and I heard someone right behind me, and I... turn around real fast, and there's a person 100 feet behind me.
Yeah.
It was like the first time I ever got glasses, and I could see the leaves on the trees, and I'm like, I didn't know leaves look like that. You should definitely get that done.
I've had it done once before, many years ago. I went to like the Walgreens care clinic or whatever, and they gave me the little, I call it the elephant machine because I'm 5 years old. I don't know what it's actually called, but it's a little thing. It's got a nozzle. It goes into your ear, and then there's a little cup that you hold under it, and it blasts water into it. And that's the common way that I've seen ears get cleaned. But I was hearing like my jeans scrape together as I was walking. Like
it's not good.
super ultrasound after I got it cleaned for the first time.
Yeah.
It is very satisfying when you get those clean, though.
Yes.
Like, it feels really good to
I'm not big on, like, Dr. Pimple Popper, but I feel like I could do that.
Oh, the ear stuff?
Something about the ear thing feels more satisfying.
Ooh, I found a new account that does... It's not Pimple Popper, but it's a lady who has, like, a ultra microscopic, you know, lens, and she plucks, like, the impacted beard hairs.
Ooh.
From her husband. Ooh.
Oh.
That is good stuff.
I know I'm not really one to talk because I do enjoy the pimple popping videos, but like the hairs I could pass on. Like, I don't want to see you pluck your husband's beard.
See, that's weird. You're a freak.
Yeah, it's weird to...
But you have your own rules.
Yeah, I have very strict rules about what I will watch.
I thought of all people, she would be like, oh, I'm into this. Instead, she's like, high-roading me on it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to. I said I have no room to talk.
I would never stoop at that low. That's disgusting.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Wanted to give one more shout-out to my daughter, Phoebe, and Tri-Delta at KU. They're having a one-day fundraiser for St. Jude Kids with Cancer. Made a donation on behalf of my family. We put a link up on Facebook. You guys are always great to jump in on something that I'm doing. In this case, it's my daughter. So if you'd like to give $5, $10, simply go there, click on it. You can use PayPal, Venmo. It's really easy, and it's just one day, and it helps kids with cancer. So there you go. Our buddy Ricky Horton joins us. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good. I'm going to miss you, man. This is going to be hard.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, the winter is always long when baseball isn't there, but we've got a couple more times left, and of course, the last road trip here begins today in Colorado, and you know, I would guess that we'd have some wrap up things to talk about after the season ends, because I know that there's going to be, I don't know what the changes are, but I'm sure there'll be something significant, and the Cardinals have kind of signaled that, so we'll see what happens.
So what I wanted to start out talking to you about was just that, like the season ending, and I heard Matt Pauley from our sports department talking about this on the air yesterday, and it was so interesting to me. I never really thought of it this way, but he was talking as a broadcaster, and you know, he did 10 years of play-by-play in the minors, and he was with the Brewers, now the Cardinals, and he said that it's really, really weird and emotional at the end of a season to walk out of the ballpark for probably the last time in 6 months. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I felt that way. I felt that way the last home game. So I think you have two things. I think it'll be the last home game, and then it'll be when we land Sunday night from San Francisco. We all go our separate ways. Not sure everybody will be on the team flight, because some guys will leave right from here. The West Coast guys will probably just go home from here. And so, but when I left Busch Stadium, it was, you know, I felt like I had 200 people to say goodbye to. And of course, you know, the old Irish goodbye, you just sneak out. And so, it is emotional though. And, you know, honestly, we had a, in our last segment with Mike Claiborne, because Claves is not on this trip. And that was kind of his final day with us. I mean, there was some emotion in that for all of us, I think. And, you know, our booth assistant, it was the last time we were with Ethan. It is definitely emotional, because it's the end of something. And of course, you know, there'll be a beginning down the road, but, you know, it still won't be exactly the same.
You guys are like a touring band, you know, I mean,
yes, exactly. It's a touring band where you say, and you include all the people that work there. You include, of course, the players and the coaches, but then, you know, there's changes in the band for the next year. So it's not exactly that band. So it's a touring band of that particular year, and it's very much like that.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the emotion of the players, because when the players split up after San Francisco, many of them will be returning to the team, but they won't be returning to the same team.
This group of guys
who you have bonded with and you've lived with and you've sweated and bled with, not all of them are going to be back.
So the baseball phrase, and I've heard this, you know, a thousand times, no exaggeration, is somebody will stand up, a veteran will say at the last day, okay, now it's time to pick your own friends. And the point is, your friends are picked for you, but they're certainly your friends. And now, you know, you got to go kind of get back into your other relationships. And it's almost like a dual life. I hate to say it that way, but it kind of is. I mean, you're realizing, and then you go home and you kind of re-enter the life of what your family may be doing and the married players. And there are a lot of them. And all of a sudden, you know, they want to rearrange the furniture and their wife says, nope, it's been fine that way for 6 months. We're going to keep it that way. And there's actually a lot of negotiation in that in terms of the off season and what the expectations are within a marriage. I mean, that is not unusual.
What's the toughest part of being on the road, Rick?
I think that's a really good question. I think the toughest part is, honestly, the toughest part is being away from my wife. Honestly, that's the single number one, because we've been such a team for over 40 years. We've been married over 40 years. And I know you'd think that would get easier, but it kind of doesn't, because we are an absolute team. So I think that's the toughest thing.
Mm-hmm. Is it, what is it like? I know for every player, for every coach, it's different. What was it like for you as a player when you had a few months off? Like, how did you have were you intentional about how you spent your time, or did you just kind of let yourself go?
Well, I think you let yourself go for a couple of weeks, because you've been, you know, every day has been planned. Everything's been planned for you. Every day has been a workout. Every day has been, how does my arm feel? How does my legs feel? Am I done? Is that bruise still bothering me? I mean, you're constantly dealing with that. And then sometimes it's just good to go do something different for 2 or 3 weeks, including maybe doing not much. And then, you know, I never really liked watching the playoffs. I mean, as a player, because I feel like, okay, the season ended. And then everybody's saying, oh, the season's still going on. And I'm saying, no, it didn't. It didn't for me. So I was never really into that as a player as much as I am now. But I think, you know, after a couple of weeks, you already start, the fire starts to go and say, okay, next year, what do I need to do? What do I need to do different? And I got to start working out right now. And typically that starts November 1st or so. And it's not just a little workout. I mean, you're beginning that long journey to be ready for spring training.
So I asked Paulie a question yesterday he seemed sort of intrigued by, and it was basically that, oh crap, I just forgot what it was. Darn.
I can't remember, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was about like evening something out, but I can't remember what
it was. About what?
It was about like evening something out between two series.
Thank you, now I remember. It was that, the guy, like Wheeler, is very famous in the show for saying, we knew exactly who Contreras was. He's been exactly the guy that his baseball card says he is, and that's the way everyone is. And Arenado's down from his baseball card stats a little bit, and Goldschmidt this and that. But my point to Paulie was, our baseball stats on our baseball cards are pretty good. It's a good team. It seemed like almost across the board, everyone had a down year. So would there be logic in saying, let's bring back this team pretty intact because they're not going to be bad 3 years in a row? Or is that just chasing good money after bad?
Well, I think it might be. That's a really good question. That's the crossroads where the team is right now. We're going to find out very soon which way they go on that road. And I could see them going either way. But I think the only difference is that they're all going to be 1 year further down in terms of their contracts. And I think it'll be a different economic situation for the Cardinals in light of things that are going on with TV and the lower attendance, and they're going to have to make some moves, and maybe status quo doesn't work as a financial model. I mean, I think that's part of the problem. You can say, well, how do we make our best team? Well, you can't say how do we make our best team if you're not throwing money into that question. If you don't think about money, well, that's easy. You just go out and get, you know, all the best players. But there's a lot of variables in it, and you know, I suspect that the Cardinals may, I'm not going to say rebuild, but I think they're going to have to retool. I think you always have to retool. Even after you win, you have to retool, because you can't fully expect that the guys are going to have the same year they had next year that they had this year, if it's a positive one.
So with Goldschmidt especially, and a bit with Arenado, and also with Gibson and Lance Lynn, it's age-related, you know? I mean, they're still young men, but they're old athletes. Not that you're a doctor or anything, but it would seem that the nutrition and the health and the physiology have never been better for players, but to me, my gut is that they're getting older faster, if that makes any sense. Do you think there's anything to that, that maybe it's a younger man's game these days?
Well, and I hate to keep coming back to economics, because that's not my favorite thing to talk about sports, but I think the point becomes a 24-year-old that can throw 100 trumps a 33-year-old who knows how to pitch and can give you some valuable lessons for your younger players because of the economics of it, because the younger guy is $500,000 a year and the older guy is $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. And so would you say which is better? You'd say I'd rather have the older guy, but the economics has been winning out recently in baseball. And that's kind of why that turnover, I think, happens faster. Is it not that they're not capable of doing it? It's just that they're not cheap enough.
So let's talk about the coaching staff. We'll start with Ollie. I know that you like him. You're a fan of his.
Yeah, I am.
Two down seasons, the youngest manager in Major League Baseball. How do you, if you're the DeWitts, how do you attack that issue of whether you keep him or you don't keep him or who you might possibly bring in?
Yeah, well, it's above my payroll, first of all. But I think, you know, they've got to see is, you know, the primary question that everybody always asks when you're an owner of a team and you're a general manager and head of baseball operations, all that is does the manager have his team or not, or has he lost his team? And that is something, that's the phrase we use, and it's almost only knowable in the clubhouse. I mean, it's the whisper campaign. It's the player that complains to somebody. And I mean, I don't think he has lost his team. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I think they're playing hard. They're not playing well. They're hitting okay. They're hitting terribly with runners in scoring position, which has been the story for the season. And you'd say, well, that can't keep going. So I don't think he's lost the team, and I don't think he's to blame. You know, managers get probably too much credit when they win and probably too much too much abuse when they lose.
Yeah. Not that you have to say who it was, but have you been on teams where the coach lost the clubhouse?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I have. I've been on teams. I've seen it. And it's just kind of a tense locker room, and they are not that way at all right now, even though, you know, it's a team just trying to – I mean, what they're trying to do now is they want to – I mean, first of all, I'd like to see them get ahead of the Cubs. I mean, I don't want to go through all winter realizing that the Cubs were ahead of the Cardinals.
Yes.
But number two, not, you know, finish above 500. And yes. So, I mean, last year the team was not good. This year the team's average. So that's, you'd say, is that better? Yeah, it is. Not where we want to go, but it's certainly incrementally better. And if you finish strong, like they have a good homestand, you finish, you know, over 500 on this road trip again and push it forward. I mean, you've at least finished well. And I think that sits well when you go into an off season.
Last question, if I made you pick one player from this season who really impressed you, who would you say?
I'm going to have to say Mason Wynn. I didn't know if he was going to be able to be a regular shortstop, an everyday shortstop, and he's better than regular, and he's certainly been every day, and he has been strong enough and durable enough to play a full season, and I would say he's my answer. I mean, other guys impressed me. I love Burleson's bat. I love Donaldson's bat. Those two guys are phenomenal. Helsley, what he's done. But from a point of view of who has really impressed me the most, I'd say Mason Wynn.
All right, brother. Have a great game. We'll talk to you Thursday.
You bet. Sounds good. Thanks. See ya.
251 DGS. So I just had a thought on the break. I tend to be fairly dark. I think you'd agree with that, Rach.
Like, sometimes.
The sad clown is such a cliche, you know, but I don't know many creatives or especially comedians who are super happy people. And I tend to be kind of dark and anxious and depressive. But I was just thinking about, because I'm helping Phoebe out. My daughter Phoebe is doing this fundraiser, one day fundraiser for St. Jude Children's Cancer Hospital. And you have to stop sometimes because, like, I've seen the St. Jude ad a million times on television, And you know that it happens. But, like, my life is complicated and stressful and anxiety-ridden, but my kids are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like... And I've been through it with my friend Scott, who lost his daughter Kimber on her 25th birthday from ovarian cancer. I guess what I'm trying to say is even depressives like me need to take stock more often that having a child with cancer, and sometimes terminal cancer, is not just something on a television ad or a movie. People are living that right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't do that enough. I'm a little too egocentric, a little too looking inside myself, taking stock. How's my life? What's this crisis like? What's that crisis like? And if you just stop and you go, well, I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I don't have this. So everything else is manageable.
I will say, though, I've said this before on the show. I think it's all relative to a certain extent. Like, yeah, it is true that that is an objectively much worse problem than what you're dealing with. But I think you have to be very careful when you're examining that side of things, that what you come away with is gratefulness and not the willingness to beat yourself up and be like, oh,
yeah,
what a jerk I am. There are people out here who are dealing with stuff like that, and I'm over here moping about whatever. You got to make sure that you don't do that, because then that's not going to help you at all. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Because
it is all relative. Like, just because they got bigger problems doesn't mean somebody else
the problems don't matter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that their problems don't matter.
Yeah, true. True.
I think it's Cormac McCarthy said, you never know what worse luck your bad luck has saved you from.
That's so true.
And I think about that from time to time whenever I'm like feeling sorry for myself over something that ultimately doesn't matter. It's like, well, what else could be going on? I think what's more important, though, than to focus on what you don't have going on is just like counting your blessings. Like Amy was kind of talking about this a couple weeks ago, just focusing on what you're grateful for. That can definitely lift you up and get you to a better place too. Like, you're on the radio right now. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's something a lot of people never get to do, and you get to do it for 20 hours a week, 25 hours a week, however long this show's on. You know what
50,
I mean?
50,000.
But it's just like you're breathing, you're standing up,
yeah.
you're gonna go home tonight and have a nice meal and sleep in a nice warm bed. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's really, really nice. So,
yeah, I saw Willie Nelson, of all people, on TikTok last night. I didn't realize that he was known for being like a big positive thinker. But he did a little thing where he was like, you know, everyone watching this right now, you're warm, you're dry, you have food. Like, you're okay. You're okay.
Yeah.
Everything else, you'll figure it out.
Somebody's sitting out in the rain like, oh.
Willie hurt their feelings.
Can I just, so we just got a text from Wheels. He's on his way home.
Mm-hmm.
He texted us on Saturday night and I reacted to the text. I have no memory of this. I guess I was so jet lagged that I just like in my sleep or something was like, heart react. I couldn't, for $1 million, I couldn't have told you what that text message said. And I'm just realizing that I reacted to it and it's just so weird.
On Saturday, shortly after she got home, I went to Expat, the new barbecue place in the Foundry, with a couple of my friends, the New Gerard Craft Place. And I texted Rachel and I said, oh, Expat is really good. And you sent back something like, I shall have it, or something.
Yeah, I was like, yep.
And then the next day she texted and said, I thought you were talking about the Nicole Kidman TV show. And I was like, you're the first person who even knows that show exists.
Yeah, and then I saw Megan do an Instagram post at Expat. I'm like, oh, that's probably what he was talking about. Probably that.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.